You are listening to the Vernon Verona Sherrill Central School District Techie Teacher Tribe podcast. This is an EdTech-focused podcast spotlighting the daily awesomeness of VVS school teachers. The mission of this podcast is to spread awareness across the district and community of the exemplary 21st century instruction happening here at VVS. Thank you for listening. Welcome to episode 4 of the Techie Teacher podcast. I'm here with Mr. Tom Fiola, and we're going to be talking about Google Classroom and his nearly paperless classroom. So welcome.
Thank you.
And what do you teach, Tom?
I teach fifth grade, and currently, based on our kind of departmentalization, I teach mostly social studies and writing to all of fifth grade here.
Awesome. At J.D. George.
At J.D. George, yeah.
Awesome. And I know you were mentioned by Jen Deo in our first episode. She gave you a shout out for helping save the day with, I know you work a lot with a lot of the teachers in the building and helping them with tech integration and whatnot. So I wanted to talk about Google Classroom because a lot of VVS teachers are starting to get on board or have been on board with Google Classroom, but there are still a lot of teachers that haven't yet. So could you just briefly describe what it is you're able to do through Google Classroom with your students?
Mm-hmm. And I know, just to start, I know a lot of the elementary piece tends to, you know, be a little hesitant with using Google Classroom just because of, you know, the, I guess, the access to devices and whatnot, which, you know, is always an issue. But I've, you know, kind of taken the liberty of taking a cart and keeping it near me and, and just really trying to, you know, integrate this into every day. So, you know, it started basically with a little bit of writing last year. And I took all of our effective communicator pieces, put them in, you know, made them digital, and then published them through Classroom so that students could get on. And then it's actually developed into having all my social studies content there this year also. The social studies has really, you know, taken off digitally for me this year because of, you know, the ability to use a digital textbook, which, you know, we use through Pearson SuccessNet. We, you know, are able to, I'm able to give them all of their vocabulary and all of their SQ3R questions, which are kind of the assisted questions when they're reading their text. And everything's digital. So they, you know, they're learning those typing skills. They're learning, you know, the usage of docs and Classroom and everything along the way. The nice thing that I've found with the writing is that, you know, the collaboration piece, obviously, that usually, you know, our process is to have them, you know, say, write a rough draft on their own, and then after doing a self-check, now they actually go up, click the blue button and share it with a fellow student. Awesome. And now, you know, they've got other kids looking at their work before, really, before it comes to me and I give them the okay to, you know, move on to the next step. It's really given me the opportunity also to have kind of more of a writer's workshop approach to my writing, because with it this way, kids can really be and will be in different places all at the same time because of, you know, their natural abilities to write. And you know, I have some kids who finish an essay in 2 days, and I have some kids who it takes 2 weeks. So it's that ability to be in different places, but I can always, you know, constantly be checking up on them. And I know one of the big concerns for people, their question was, well, couldn't they access these at home? And, you know, couldn't they be working on this outside of the classroom and things like that? And usually my disclaimer at the beginning of setting all of this up is just everything's time stamped.
Yeah.
So at any given time, if I want to say, hey, did little Johnny work on this at home? Is he getting help on this? Whatever, I can look and look at all the revision history and easily call a kid out and say, hey, you know, we've got to do it here. And really, I've had zero trouble with That's kids good. Trying to do it outside of school because of that. They, you know, they realize that I can watch, you know, their activity, and it really makes it easy.
So. Yeah. So for those that haven't used Google Classroom before, essentially what happens is that you post an assignment in the online classroom environment. And do you do the attachment where you have like an already like a pre-created document that you make a copy for each student?
Yes.
So essentially, rather than photocopying your worksheet or handout for the students, you're making a digital copy for each student. So each student gets their own copy, and you automatically have access to it. So the benefit there is that you have access to check in
throughout the writing process. Mm-hmm. So you can get a better idea of their process and how they're doing and monitoring. Even if you're at home and you're in, or right. maybe you've taken a sick day and you want to check in with your students and what they're doing mm-hmm. in class, you can actually pop in and see what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So there's added functionality there, because when you just hand out a piece of paper, what you get back is a finished product. Right. You don't have the lens into the actual process. So mm-hmm. that's a nice feature of using Google Classroom.
Definitely.
If you had any advice for someone getting started, mm-hmm. what would be some of the ways that you would advise them to get started with Google Classroom?
Start small.
Yeah.
Pick one activity. Mm-hmm. And literally what you're going to find is that it increases student participation. Mm-hmm. Like, kids want to get on the computers.
Yeah.
Kids look forward to it. If I come into class and say, well, today we're not going to get on because we have this other thing to do, kids are usually bummed. It's right. like, you know, they enjoy getting on, and their, you know, their ability to function in that digital environment has just, you know, become amazing. But I would definitely say start small. You know, start with maybe pick one content area that you think that you could, you know, integrate some of these lessons that way. And it doesn't mm-hmm. have to be everything. But what I found is once I did one, then I did five, then, you know,
right.
and the best part about it is from year to year, all of my stuff is archived, so right. I can literally just go in and practically repost, you know,
yeah.
say, do I want to, you know, change this assignment a little bit? Do I want to mm-hmm. add a new video? But, you know, it just really gives you that ability to, you know, it's kind of like having your lesson plan book, mm-hmm. you know, digital now. So mm-hmm. you just see what you've done in the past.
And just change the due date.
Exactly.
And repost it, or yeah. maybe you make a little tweak. And
yeah.
That's definitely my number one piece of advice for people mm-hmm. is that don't get carried away. Just start small.
Right.
So there's multiple aspects of Google Classroom. You can use it for communication, just posting announcements. Mm-hmm. So that's the easiest way to get started with Google Classroom is just to use it as a communication tool. Students can have it downloaded. It's a free mobile app. So if you just wanted to use it, kind of like Remind, where you're saying, okay, don't forget to study for tomorrow's test, or here's a link to help you with the homework for tonight. Mm-hmm. Then you can also venture into posting assignments. You don't have to, you know, go all the way into the flipped classroom automatically.
No.
Definitely baby step your way into it.
Mm-hmm.
You can also start using it. An easy way to start using Google Classroom is through the question feature.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use that at all in your classroom? The multiple multiple choice or short answer question feature?
No.
So it's basically like you can use it as a bell ringer. It's a
right.
quick check for understanding, or some people use it as like a one question homework
mm-hmm.
assignment. Or you can actually create a question to engage your students in an online discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one piece of, I know from personal experience, my graduate work was online, and students are going to have to engage in an online discussion
sure.
in higher ed at some point,
mm-hmm.
whether they're going online or not. So that online experience with the discussion forum is a nice piece of it as
yeah.
well. And like you said, you can archive your classes and then just repost assignments
right.
after that. The other nice feature is that you can add co-teachers
mm-hmm.
as well. So something that I've done for some teachers is that they're a little nervous about using Google Classroom, so they've added me as a co-teacher, and so I can kind
mm-hmm.
of say, oh, you did this here. Well, next time let's do this. It'll work better for you.
Yeah.
Or even if you have an actual co-teacher, it's so that they need mm-hmm. access to your students' work. That's a really nice feature.
Yeah, I have, I think, 4 or 5 teachers in the building that are on my classroom
right.
itself. So basically what I've done is I've added 2 of the reading and AIS teachers that,
mm-hmm.
you know, work closely with me with one of our guided reading groups. So, you know, I can post, you know, the audio for the book we're reading, you know, so it's almost
mm-hmm.
a way for me to kind of share the resources, you know,
mm-hmm.
and kind of a dumping place for all those things. And if I post it in our classroom somewhere, then at least if they're a teacher, they can come out and have access to those things also.
Mm-hmm.
And for, I work with Jen Rossi very closely, with her kids. And because of that, I put her on there also
right.
so that she can, you know, access. And if I do post an assignment, she can then take that assignment if she needs to differentiate it for her kids or
mm-hmm.
anything like that. You know, it just makes it easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's an easy sharing post. So
yeah, it streamlines the communication between
mm-hmm.
teachers a lot.
Definitely.
Because I know when I was teaching, there was always kind of a disconnect between the resource teacher she would say, well, what's your homework? And they'd say, oh, I don't have any homework. And then she'd if she was shared in a Google Classroom, well, I see it's posted right here, you know. So,
sure.
Do you have just any recommendations as far as things that, in hindsight, you would have done differently when you got started, or just any things to any motivation you would say or give to people that are looking to do this?
My biggest recommendation is to just try it. And use it. And, you know, I know that, as I mentioned earlier, you know, devices and access to devices can be a hang up sometimes. And, you know, the last thing we want to do is get used to it from a teacher standpoint or from a student standpoint, and then realize, well, we don't have access, know, and I think, you know, that could be, you know, something that holds us back at times. But, you know, between the labs and the carts that we do have in the buildings, I think there's always the access to this. And I just really encourage people to try it, because this is 21st century learning,
right?
And this is the avenue that these kids have to be down by the time they're in middle school, high school. And I just get so much feedback from the middle school and high school teachers that say, you know, you can tell the kids that have come through your fifth grade little program here because they're experienced. And, you know, and another big thing is, you know, the media center teachers are using it, are using Classroom also, you know, often. And so there's different opportunities that these kids are using them. So teachers don't need to be afraid that more than likely the kids are going to know more than the teachers
they're
do.
They're using,
you know,
it to someone else,
they are,
probably.
They already know how to get in, log in, and, you know, that's just my big recommendation, is just try it. You know? And if you absolutely don't like it, which I doubt is going to happen, but then don't use it. But, you know, I think it's what these kids, you know, it's what's right and just for the kids, more importantly. So.
I agree. So, and that's the biggest piece of feedback I get from teachers is, like, I want to do Google Classroom, but we don't have access to the technology. And as you and I both know, that's something that the district's currently aware of and looking at bringing in more student devices. So it's not, that's not going to be the case for long.
Right.
So might as well try it, because if and when the devices do come, then you'll be ready. The other thing is that Google Classroom is something that you can use. You don't have to have the students on it during class all the time either. It could, like we said before, it could be a communication piece, or it could be something where you're posting homework and they're accessing it outside of class. So definitely try it, you know, get used to it. And then ask one of us, too. You know, book support time with me, your media specialist. If you're at J.D. George, reach out to Mr. Fiola. We're more than happy to help you get started. So as far as your paperless classroom goes, could you talk a little bit about how that works? Are you printing less? Are you saving some trees?
Yeah, I mean, really the only thing, I think I went probably the first month and a half of school without printing
That's
a document,
awesome.
which I was, you know, trying to see how long I could go without actually having to. You know, at this point, testing is still done, and the quizzes and the tests and, you know, obviously the district assessments are obviously done through paper. But, you know, again, those are things that maybe for next year I'd look into. You know, I've kind of wrangled with the idea of, you know, Google, you know, and what they can provide for different avenues for testing and whatnot, but haven't found anything I'm 100% comfortable with, so I'm still holding off on that. But, you know, if I'm just printing, and I will print, like, their review sheets, let's say for social studies, which is usually, like, front and back, one sheet, you know, it's very minimal, and that's once a, you know, once every couple weeks, something like that. So it's very minimal what I am printing, just because I can't rely solely on that. Even though probably 80% of the kids do have access to devices at home, sometimes it's simply a cell phone or a small tablet, and I can't expect them to be studying or, you know, doing any, and making sure they have those review sheets. So, you know, I do print them and provide them to students just as a fail-safe form for my own, you know, sake when it comes to testing, and theirs too, so.
Right. And you might, I mean, if the district ever goes into like a one-to-one environment where students do have their own device and whatnot, you might find that there are students that have different preferences as well. So like you might know that you want to print five pieces of paper for these five students and just because they interact with their learning in a different way.
Right.
But I mean, you're printing less paper, which is a big,
without a doubt.
Which is a big accomplishment. Because I know that And we get a lot of papers sent home. My husband was like, oh, I want the paper contract for the schools. And I was like, no, you don't, because they're going paperless.
Yeah.
But yeah, so any other things you want to add or contribute?
I think that's about it.
Okay.
I'm really, you know, I've been a huge advocate of Google and Classroom for the last few years, you know, since I've really, you know, been into it myself, and I can't, you know, stress at the elementary just how much we really need to start to prepare these kids for the next level.
Right.
And you know, we're doing them a great service by exposing them, you know, and even if it's just a teacher that wants to post their assignments and or just keep their own resources there so that they bring it up every day and access a link to a video from the classroom. You know, it could be as minimal as that. Maybe you don't get into having a set of devices in the classroom yet or things like that. But just starting to go down that trail so that students are seeing it and realizes, you know, they realize that there's that digital platform that they're going to be working from, because you know, their high school, their college, and whatever else type of career from here will all be in a digital environment.
Right.
So,
I remember when I was teaching, and we had one-to-one Chromebooks, but I was using Drive and in Classroom when it first came out. And some of my most disorganized students, they were incapable of losing their stuff because it was all automatically saved for them.
Yeah.
So they automatically benefited because they didn't lose their papers or their binders. And I mean, there's something to be said about learning to be an organized human being and like organizing your stuff. But it was something that made their learning experience easier for them. And it made it definitely easier for me to track down all their work. So.
Yeah. Well, and especially in the elementary where organization is an issue.
Yeah. Well, no, it's an issue with the middle school, high school. I worked with ninth grade boys.
I had a student who I pulled technology usage from because of inappropriate activity.
Yeah.
And after about 2 weeks, gave it back to the student because he was so disorganized that everything paper I gave
it.
Him, he lost. So it was actually counterproductive for me to remove it. I just had to be a little more conscious of his activity and keep him close to me. But, you know, it definitely helps in that respect. So.
Absolutely. All right. And we end each episode with a techie shout out. So do you have any shout outs for anyone at VBS that you'd like to mention?
I do. I'd like to give a shout out to Pat, Ben, and Chris, our tech guys. That keep us running smoothly, and you know, I work very closely with Often and are very good about addressing concerns, you know, very quickly, and you know, do what needs to be done to just keep us running and moving forward. So
yes, we wouldn't be able to use all the technology without their support, so
that's
thank you, tech support.
Yes.
And that reminds me, so just a reminder too, if you have tech support questions or issues, make sure to email them to techsupport@vbsschools. Something new that the district is doing is that all of those emails now go into a system, and they're being tracked so that we can keep track of what's going on with the tech support in the district and what are common problems and whatnot. So thank you very much, and thank you for doing this.
Thank you.